The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Hey, Chris, my husband and I really enjoy your show. Thanks for doing what you do.
Hi, Chris, I love the show.
You're just breaking rules all over the place.
Thank you very, very much for your sane reasoning and conversation.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Did you see that arena yesterday in Montreal, or last night, I guess, the Flyers playing up there in Quebec? Did you see the arena by chance?
No.
Completely empty. So they're back to that up in Quebec. Total shutout. They have closed their arena to the public in Quebec. Yeah. And I don't follow the NHL, but apparently multiple teams are down to something like 16 players each. And I don't know a lot about hockey, but that's not good, is it?
No, not at all.
That's everything is stupid, folks. I don't even know why they're playing a game at the Link Sunday. This, you may as well just forfeit the game. The Washington football team has, I think they can barely put 22 guys on the field, from what I'm told.
Oh, well, in that case.
Which is not, you know, I mean, I get, you know, we'll take the, why don't you call it a forfeit and call it a day? Yeah. I mean, it's, they're not even going to talk about bringing Hurts back because why? You could probably go down to FDR Park and have a pickup game that's going to be more impressive than what they're going to put out on the field Sunday. But, I mean, I know nobody's crying in their beer for the Washington football team. Although, keeping with tradition, of course, I heard Sports Talk Radio admonishing the Washington football team for not doing their part to keep things safe. No kidding. I heard this admonishing sports commentator commending the Eagles for doing their part to stop the spread. And I thought to myself, what are we doing? Did I hit my head and dream the entirety of 2021, Fast Eddie?
This all feels too familiar. I'm scared, to be honest.
So an empty arena in Montreal.
Yeah.
Players now not playing. Vaccine paperwork required at the turn of the year, and admonishing sports talk show hosts talking about how if you're doing the right thing, you're quarantining, you're keeping distant, you're putting your mask on. Seriously, it was as if the entire last year didn't happen. Yep. I was listening to this guy this morning, and it I swear it could have been a show from a year ago. And he was admonishing the Washington team and commending the Eagles. This is literally his take. Well, I heard, and I can't remember which player he referenced in an interview, how he was really proud of the Eagles because they're down there at the NovaCare Center and they are keeping socially distant and they are wearing masks and they are doing their part. And apparently, and this is, I'm serious, this is what this guy was saying, and apparently those guys at the Washington football team, they just don't care. They're hanging out, and they're fraternizing, and they're spending time around each other and all that stuff. Can you believe? Outrage! This was the hot take. What an outrage it was that people were carrying on as normal. And I actually, thankfully, I heard another co-host or producer or whoever it was on the show say, well, yeah, but you understand, he said, and he was just to let everybody know that he had street cred, he said, hey, I'm triple vaxxed. And, you know, I could still come in here if you're testing me every day. I was so glad to hear that at least one voice in this conversation was somewhat sane. They're starting to get it. Even the left-wing acolytes who have lived in fear are starting to get it. It appears we can't inject ourselves out of this. It appears that maybe we're going to have to just learn that this transmits quickly and spreads as it spreads and do what you need to do, but we're not going to vaccinate our way out of this. And he said, hey, I'm triple vaxxed and I could just as easily show up here to work today and test positive for COVID. And I thought to myself, thank you. I'm so thrilled to hear that there are people that are now starting to understand that. The virtue signaling of a year ago, get your shot, I got my shot, do your part, why are you fighting this? Now they're starting to say, well, I mean, I did all that, and I guess I still could get it. And I'm like, yeah, welcome to the party. Glad you could join us. That's right. And so now does that make you feel kind of stupid that you've been screaming at everybody to take a medicine they may or may not want, regardless of the way you feel about it? I mean, what are we talking about? So you're proudly boasting that you've had three shots and acknowledging that you can still test positive. So that's what we have now, people that are publicly acknowledging that. And that's a good thing. And I'm still not taking the position you shouldn't go get it. I'm still not taking the position that maybe it makes you less sick if you get it. And when you catch COVID, you know, having had the shots in your system, you don't get as sick. I don't know. I mean, there seems to be a lot of people that I think even Alex Berenson believes that so. I think. I don't think Daniel Horowitz shares that point of view, but neither here nor there. That's between you and medicine and your own research. I can't know that for sure, but I do know this. If we're going to keep, and I don't know how the NFL, we're going back into another season of this. They just introduced new rules yesterday. Here's the statement from the NFL. Throughout the pandemic, we have continuously evolved our protocols to meet our goal of advancing the safety of the players, coaches, and staff. The changes we're making today aim to address the increase in cases and the advent of the Omicron variant. Effective immediately, all clubs will implement preventative measures that have proven effective, masking regardless of vaccination status. Masking regardless of vaccination status. Remote or outdoor meetings. Eliminating in-person meals. No outside visitors while on team level. We will continue to strongly encourage booster shots as the most effective protection. Finally, based on expert advice, we will adjust the return to participation requirements for those who have recovered from COVID-19. All of these changes are grounded in our data and science-backed approach, with safety our number one goal for the entire NFL community. Now, were I a cynic, one might conclude that this is, as you point out, a trial run. Were I a cynic, one might think that Roger Goodell is an easily politicized figure, and the NFL is an easily politicized organization, and the NFL is happy to do the bidding of Democrats. And one, if you wanted to be cynical about it, might conclude that the NFL and major sports leagues might start behaving in a way that will telegraph eventually the way they'd like us all to start behaving again. You getting that feeling? That sports is sort of the leading indicator? Like, the way sports leagues are behaving is kind of the upstream of where we're ultimately going to be culturally soon?
Yeah, because if you think about it, it's the perfect place because it's guaranteed media coverage in every major market in the country.
Yep. And so, Eagles fans, look at what we're doing to keep our players safe. It's the least you can do, too. So get that mask. I was thinking about it this morning. I was so enjoying, and I have been so enjoying, just going in and getting my coffee and not screwing around with a mask anymore. And I thought to myself, those damn things are coming back. You can just as sure as I sit here, you can bet that very, very soon they're going to insist we get a mask back on our face, no matter your vaccination status. And soon they will talk to you as though the shot never happened and was never a thing and they never cared about it. That it's not even relevant, that it doesn't even matter, that you've had the Moderna, by the way, did you hear about the J&J? That's an interesting bit of news. Just out of curiosity, what were we told about these vaccine makers? That they're perfectly safe. That you should definitely run out there and get it. No sweat. This will protect you from COVID. It's safe and effective. It's been approved. Well, that's all changed now. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention changed their recommendations for COVID-19 vaccines Thursday to make clear the shots by Moderna and Pfizer are preferred over the J&J shot. The new recommendation, mRNA vaccines are preferred over the Johnson COVID-19 vaccine for the prevention of COVID-19 for those 18 years of age and over. Early Thursday, the advisory committee of the CDC updated recommendation after hearing new data indicating that a rare blood clot, a clotting syndrome, it's more common among people who got the J&J shot than first believed. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky accepted the updated recommendation within hours. Why don't you idiots just get the shot? What are you so worried about? What is it you people are so afraid? Would you just shut up and do your part and get the shot? How many times did you hear that over the year if you were somebody that decided you didn't want to get it? Would you just quit being selfish and get the shot? I have a couple of questions about the efficacy and say, you shut up, you. You're not a patriot. Do your part. Get your shot. But I'm concerned about it because it's so new, and injecting something new into my body is something I'd like to pump the brakes on and ask a question. You shut up, you! Patriot! Patriot! Oh, okay, so now the CDC says one of the three vaccines might make your blood clot. So better not take it. Oops! Do over! Sorry! What is this, a pickup game again? Are we back in the street playing stickball? Car! What are we doing? What are we doing? What is any of this anymore? This is insane. In some ways, it's like the shot never appeared on the scene. And then what we do know about the shot is there's one of them that they're saying, you better not do it. You just, somebody, well, I may not even go down this road. I was just asked by a friend yesterday. He said, are you seeing, I better be careful with this. But it is, do I want to get into this or not? I hate even talking about it. Young, healthy athletes in Europe and other countries, not here in the United States, seem to be dropping dead.
Yeah.
Heard about that?
Mm-hmm. Now, the latest was a 20-year-old, correct?
Yeah. And I'm just... well, that's it. That's it. And somebody asked me about that. Are you hearing about all these young, healthy athletes in other countries that are just dropping dead? I said, yeah, I said, yes. And he said, it's not so much happening here. I said, well, you know, there is something different about some other foreign countries like Europe than here. What is it? There's a form of the, well, see, do I even say this? I'll just say that for whatever reason, the AstraZeneca people who make a vaccine as well, that never made approval here. That never got green lighted here. So we're mass vaccinating with Moderna, Pfizer, and J&J, and now J&J's off the table. AstraZeneca was never on the table here, but it is in Europe. where, by the way, all of the UK is awash in the virus again, and they're like 90% vaccinated as a population. So you got young, healthy people that I think are taking – I mean, if you want to know the truth about it, I think this AstraZeneca that was never approved for the United States, I think there are people that are injecting it over there in Europe and dropping dead. I think there's a reason it wasn't approved here, obviously. In fact, if memory serves, they said very specifically they had clotting concerns about AstraZeneca, and that's why they never introduced it to the general public here. If I'm remembering. It's hard to remember all this anymore, but I think I'm right. So now it appears J&J is the same. And how many of you, I'm sorry, I don't mean to scare you or alarm you or whatever, but how many of you, and I know a few, who said, well, if I got to do it to keep my job, I'm going to get the J&J because it's one and done. How many did that? A lot of you. There are people listening to me right now who did that. All right, if I got to do it, I'll get the one. I'm not saying it was sanctimony. I'm not reveling in it at all. I'm disgusted by all of this. I'm disgusted at all of it. That's all I can say. That's all I can tell you. I'm disgusted. I sat there watching the Flyers game last night at PJ's, and I felt like it was the fall of 2020. It was like the whole last year hasn't happened. I was watching this empty arena, and my son says to me, what? Where are they playing? I said, Canada, Montreal. And I said, and, you know, coming to a Wells Fargo Center near you, no doubt.
You had the whole Ottawa Senators team fully vaccinated that had an outbreak. What? You covered that? Oh, what was that, a month ago?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. This whole thing is a scam now. And, you know, I know a lot of you are saying it's always been a scam. Look, COVID's real. People get sick with COVID. This Omicron thing is no more an alarmist thing than it was a year ago. We understand what this is. Omicron is not severe. It's not making people more sick. It's a much less severe strain. Remember the prediction. We noted it yesterday during the show. I told Fast Eddie, note this. They've predicted bodies in the streets by next week. So like a week from today, we won't be on the air next Friday. We'll be taking a break for Christmas. But next Thursday, we're going to check the CDC totals. And I'm going to remind you, because we talked about it yesterday, that the CDC rolled out and they projected mass death. And they projected mass cases. And so we're back to testing, cases. So the new metric is going to be all the cases. Whether you're symptomatic or not, whether you've had the shot or not. Now it's cases. So we're back to counting cases. And I suspect that means that in due course, and go ahead and note that I said this, in short order, I'm sure the cable news will be back with the ticker.
Under Biden?
Yeah. Oh. Not death ticker, case ticker, different. You don't want to make it look like he's not doing anything, but you want to make it look like there's a terrible emergency, right? They got to carry this all the way through next fall, folks. This is going to be, don't think this is, I don't delight in this. I take no delight in this. I don't. But I remember thinking in the spring of 2020, May, June, July, as we were moving into the summer of 2020, certainly by the fall, certainly by last year, I remember thinking to myself, this won't end, because I kept asking you the same question over and over again. How is this going to end? How is this going to end? How do you see this ending? When does this end? And the answer was, of course, I was asking it rhetorically because I knew and you knew, we all knew this wasn't going to end. It's not designed to end. And if we're going to keep testing everyone, and the new metric is testing for cases, this will never stop. Understand? There will never not be cases. If we're going to test the population forever for cases, there will always be cases and there will always be spread. And we will always be in perpetual states of masking and locking down. Always. Always. So I don't know. I don't know if an election changes that next fall. I don't know. And I know a lot of you are saying, well, I'm not even sure we're going to have a legitimate election next fall if they keep this up. And I would hear that and say that's a fair charge. 610-850-0990, the number. 610-850-0990. We're online. For the holiday. At 990theanswer.com. Good morning.
Because no matter how far away you roam, when you pine for the sunshine.
Your opinion matters. Take the poll at 990theanswer.com. Sponsored by Stillman Volvo. Four generations in Westchester. Online at StillmanVolvoCars.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Merry Christmas. It's by the way, Open Line Friday. A new feature we've added in honor of Rush Limbaugh. Just got my copy of James Golden's book, by the way. Took me a minute to get it. We had James on, Bo Snerdly, the official program observer of Rush's show for 30 years. He's got a brand new book. Just got my copy. Can't wait to dive into it. Speaking of copies of books, we also, as a little Christmas gift from us to you, we have prizes to unload for this Christmas season. And we will oddly be giving you the retail value of each book as we give them away today. Because apparently that's a new thing we're supposed to do by law. I don't know why, but that's what I'm told. So you'll get to know the value of the prize you're winning today. We're going to sound like Rod Roddy and the Showcase Showdown when we give away prizes now. That's a legal, literal thing we got to do, which is weird.
I'm very excited.
I've never in my career heard of this thing, but this is what we're doing now. So Fast Eddie is going to, every time we give something away this morning and throughout next week, he's got to break in and give you the retail value.
That's correct.
I just wish you looked like one of Barker's beauties.
Sorry, man.
610-850-0990, the number. 610-850-0990. Let's go to, by the way, yeah, that's the number if you want to join in on Open Line Friday. Rich is in Washington Township, New Jersey. Hey, Rich, glad you called. Good morning.
How you doing, Chris?
Doing well, man. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I am just beside myself with just such anger at the hypocrisy of the mainstream media. There is no doubt in my mind that if Trump were still president, they would be blaming him for these leaky vaccines and how they're not working. They would be saying, oh, it's a typical Trump fraud, like Trump Airlines and Trump wine. They would be blaming Trump for pushing vaccines that didn't work and don't work, and they would not be telling people to get vaccinated. They would be doing just the opposite.
You know, I hadn't even considered what you're saying, but you're exactly right. This would be wall to wall. You see what happens when you rush and you're careless. Trump was reckless, and now he's made the country inject themselves with something that doesn't even work, and we don't even know the long-term effects of what they've done.
He was in the pocket of Big Pharma, and he wanted to make money with Big Pharma. All that stuff would have been brought up. Which it should be brought up, by the way, because that's what's going on with Fauci and the federal government is partnered, and they're partnered with these big pharma like Pfizer. They're pushing these vaccines when the evidence is obvious that these vaccines are making people sicker. They're making them more susceptible to getting every single vaccinated country, every highly vaccinated township, county, country is having the highest case rates now because it's making people dependent on the vaccine for immunity.
Now, Rich, listen. Dr. Fauci says that you are engaging right now in a considerable degree of misinformation. And it is up to me now to help him flood the zone to deal with people like you. Listen.
It is unfortunate that there's a considerable degree of misinformation and information that is propagated by the social media. And the only way we can think of countering misinformation and disinformation is by literally flooding the system with correct information. So I would encourage people. I mean, when you look at tweets that occur and Facebook postings that are absolutely inaccurate, misleading, conspiratorial, or what have you, those who feel that they want to counter that should actually get on the internet, get on your Facebook, get on your tweets, and counter that misinformation.
Yes.
Talk about what the real true information is.
It's a shame he doesn't just be honest and say, we really need to shut down Facebook and Twitter altogether. It's really what he wants to say, but, you know, short of that, guys like you, Jim, you're out there peddling all this misinformation. We got to flood the zone to keep people like you quiet.
Actually, Chris, Fauci was quoted, and there's a webpage I'll send you, where he says in two occasions, one with an interview with Mark Zuckerberg, which was Zoom called, and another one where this is when Trump was in the White House, and Pence is in the background. Fauci was talking about, and this is before the vaccines were released, he was talking about the possibility that, quote, something you take to make you better can actually make you sicker. And that's kind of like something he said was could possibly happen. So it's on tape. He did say it. And that reality is coming true.
You know, Dr. Stephen Hatfield told us a few weeks ago that he was of the firm opinion that mass vaccinating people was only creating new variants that were completely resistant to the thing. He said, we're basically encouraging people to shoot in their arm something that was last year's news.
Yes.
Remember when they say don't take antibiotics because it makes the antibiotics resistant?
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
The overprescription. Well, isn't that possible with what's going on with these mRNA vaccines?
Variants
more.
It's a great, smart point because I know, and I bet you've run into this, I am somebody who regularly gets sinus infections. And, you know, I hate them. And I go to either the doctor or like the Minute Clinic or something, and I say, hey, I got a sinus infection and I'd like an antibiotic. It's getting increasingly harder. I think a lot of people will confirm this. When you go to a doctor and say, could I get an antibiotic? They kind of grudgingly do it. And a lot of times will say no now because of this very point you make. They say, no, you know, just pumping you full of antibiotics every time you get sick, it'll make antibiotics worthless when you really need them. Is what some doctors have been saying as of the last few years when I've been dealing with sinus infections, for instance. So, sure. Rich, I'm so glad you called, man. Thank you. I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Well, you too, Chris. Stay safe.
Doctors urge COVID-19 booster shots as Omicron variant continues to spread. This from 6ABC. There's an uptick in COVID-19 cases again. And with the holidays approaching and family gathering, we could literally just replay last year's shows. It's as if none of 2021 has even happened. We could go back in the vault to December. What is today? December 17th of 2020 and play that show, and it would work today. You would think I was live. I would be saying the exact same things, I'm sure. I'd be almost curious to go back in the archives and just sincerely, I would like to know what I was talking about the week of December 17th, 2020. I might do that over the weekend. I might go back and just listen to some of the shows and next week see if I can play content from a year ago and see if you would think it live if I didn't tell you it wasn't from last year. That might be fun. Because I bet what you'll find is I was saying the exact same things, talking about the exact same news and news stories that were being reported the exact same way they are now, as though the last year didn't happen. We haven't learned anything. There hasn't been a mass vaccination push. We're right back to Dr. William Schaffner. I don't know who this is, but he and Fauci are back on TV on CNN yesterday, as though this is, it's 2020, and there's no shot. There's no vaccine. You dreamt all of 20. This was Bobby in the shower in Dallas, and Pam opens the door. Hey, morning, honey. Like, this, you dreamt all of 2021. It didn't happen. Do you remember at the end of the, I know what was, here's one thing I remember a year ago. It was a year ago right now that people were saying, I just can't wait to get this year over with. 2020. Oh, I'm just going to be so glad to turn the page and get a new year started vaccine. Oh, I can't wait. And I remember people saying to me, you know, it's going to be so great when that shot is here and everybody gets that shot and we'll start opening things up, getting back to normal. Oh, won't that be good? It may take some time, but won't it be good to be easing back into normal? And I remember people projecting June, July or so, I think, because I told you, and it broke my heart to tell you this, my church was closed for a year. My church was closed for a year. And when they finally opened in the spring, they opened with masks mandatory. That was also when I was treated to the critical race theory sermon that finally ended up driving me from my church. But that's another show for another day. I think I did a show on that too. So I'm sitting there in a mask listening to a critical race theory sermon. And, you know, so the rest is history. We found a new church. But I remember leading up to that, the leaders of my church saying, well, we're very optimistic that slowly but surely by summertime, we think we'll be able to reopen. And then they started doing mask segregation where the masked people sat on this side of the church and the unmasked could sit on this side. And I've lost touch with that church, so I don't even know what they've done. But if they've gone back to normal operations, I can only imagine that that church is now going to go swinging hard right back into lockdown mode. When they were talking to me a year ago about, hey, I think we can start to slowly start to open up for normal operations, but we must be they kept saying, we must be considerate of people who are nervous about it, and we must be considerate about the feelings of people who feel unsafe. Never made sense to me, this notion that we must be thinking about the people who feel unsafe. Not that I'm callous and not that I'm insensitive to people who feel unsafe. I just thought to myself, if you really feel that unsafe, why are you out? Like, why is it incumbent upon me to make you feel comfortable by demonstrating all the ways I make you feel safe? So we're right back to this as though none of 2021 happened. Listen to some of this conversation from Dr. William Schaffner yesterday on CNN.
Can we be getting together with our vaccinated loved ones, or do you not recommend that?
Well, Allison, I would recommend that we hang our stockings with care. I think we have to be careful. If we're all going to get together, we should all be vaccinated and preferentially boosted. We should wear our masks if we're uncertain. And another thing we can do is we could all get tested the morning of our getting together. We did that at our house over Thanksgiving because we had a member who had a very serious condition that put them at risk of very severe disease should they get infected. We were all negative. It worked out just fine.
That's a little easier said than done, Dr. Schaffner. You know, it's not that easy to get those at-home rapid tests right now still.
You're exactly correct. It's not a panacea, but it is something some people certainly can think about. And I would certainly say if you're going to any group event indoors, whether you're vaccinated or not, please wear your mask. And yes, I join the chorus of everyone saying vaccination, vaccination, vaccination. Yeah. If you haven't gotten your first dose, bring those children in, age 5 and older. And if you haven't gotten your booster and you're eligible, run, do not walk, and get vaccinated.
And then act as though you didn't at all. So this quack, if you followed that, just said, get out there and inject yourself with as much of this vaccine as you can get your hands on. Vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. Take 6, 7, 8 vaccines. Shoot them, shoot them, shoot them. Keep taking them. Inject it, inject it, inject it. You can't inject enough. Keep injecting. And then wear your mask. And then stay distant. And then test. And keep injecting and keep injecting. You psychopaths with your injecting. You can't have it both ways. I'm struggling to maintain FCC compliance. You idiots in medicine, you first-rate quacks who keep telling the public to inject themselves with 3 and 4 shots and then demanding we all act like we never did it by distancing and testing and masking and treating everybody like they're ticking time bombs anyway? Do you understand what you're saying? Do you understand how you sound to people? You don't make me want to go get injected with the 5, 6, 7 dozen shots you want me to take. You don't make me want to go do that, because all you keep saying is after I do it, I've got to act like I never did it anyway. So why do I want to inject myself with a medicine that I don't even want to take when I know on the other side of it, I can't act any differently? If you're going to treat me, it was a great tweet. This tweet this morning, who said it? I want to give credit where it was due. Dr. Jordan Peterson tweeted, "I am vaccinated and I'm still not being left alone. Fool me once." It's exactly right. So for all of us who did our part, who did our patriotic duty, who went out there and rolled up our sleeve and got our first shot, and then 4 weeks later came back and got our second shot, and then we went out and we got our booster, it's still not enough. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. And Dr. Schaffner talking about, we had a particularly sick person in our midst that, hey, I got an idea. How about the particularly sick family member? And I know this is maybe a little harsh sounding, but if you're really that scared about a particularly vulnerable member of your family being around the rest of you, maybe you don't bring them over. Maybe you don't bring a very sick, immunocompromised member of your family into your home around the holidays. Because maybe that's what sane people do. And I know that's sad, and I know that's difficult, and I know that's kind of lonely, and that's unfortunate, and I hate that for anybody that they would have to be isolated like that. But you see, in a civilized, sane, normal society, we don't treat everyone as though they're lepers because one person is sick. That's not the way we isolate the sick person. We don't isolate everyone. We don't mask everyone. We isolate and bubble wrap and mask and protect and quarantine the sick person. But do you see what medicine has evolved into? Now we're all behaving as though we're all sick all the time, whether we are or not, whether we're symptomatic or not. We've all got to behave. This is so important. I know you know this, but I can't stress it enough. And because there are always people happening by the show that are new, I need to say this so that you understand what's happening. You're being treated as though you have this virus, whether you have it or not. We're all being treated as if we have the virus all the time. You're potentially sick, I'm potentially sick, he's potentially sick, she's potentially sick, and ergo, we've all got to wear our masks. And get our shots and stay distant from one. And we, you see the dynamic they're setting up? Be afraid, don't get too close. And most of all, we cannot vote in person. It's way too risky when we're all ticking time bombs. We cannot get together and vote in person. We really, in these dangerous times, it's critically important you mail in your vote. This is mentally abusive, manipulative. It makes no sense. Thinking people like you and me know it makes no sense. It's outrageous. It needs to be resisted at all costs. We're back into season two. This is like a bad Netflix series. This is season two, three. I think we're entering season three. I didn't like the first season. The second season was even worse. I'm not optimistic for season three of Scandemic. Scandemic. But do your part. Fauci, hey, enjoy the holiday season, but wear your mask. Wear your mask. We're back to masks. Masks, masks. It doesn't matter if you got 5, 6, 7 shots. Put the mask back on.
We can get through even a winter surge by implementing the countermeasures that we have: vaccinations, boosters, masking in indoor settings, being prudent in caring, for example, about wearing a mask indoors. You can enjoy the holiday season with your family if you're vaccinated and your family members are vaccinated.
You thought this was over. You thought if you just did your part, did your patriotic duty and took that shot, eventually the masks could come off. No, no, no. In Montreal, they've already emptied their stadiums and taken most of their players off the ice. And here we go. Rinse, repeat. You know why they pushed these vaccines so hard this year? Because they knew we were swinging into a new season where everybody was going to get sick anyway. The game is... Now the game's officially up. Because thinking people are waking up and going, I've done everything you told me and this doesn't seem to be working. This was it. This was it. And so I don't know what 2022 brings, but it's not going to be the compliance of 2021. I can assure you of that. This is Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer.
Somebody waits for you. Kiss her once for me.
We are Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer, because the truth never goes out of style.
Steve Ducey at the White House asking, why is Biden still telling people vaccinated folks can't spread COVID? It's a great question.
Really quick. Why is President Biden telling people still that the vaccinated cannot spread COVID?
Can you say more?
Yeah, in a local interview on Tuesday, he said, how about making sure you're vaccinated so you do not spread the disease to anybody else? The CDC says people who get vaccine breakthrough infections can be contagious.
Well, I'll say this. I didn't hear this interview, so I would have to see it in its full context. What I know and what the president believes is that we have to listen to the science. We have to listen to our public health officials, and that's what the president believes. Thank you.
Okay, so then what Peter Ducey just said is what science is saying, which is that you can still spread the disease. These people, and anybody you get into an argument with about this, they all say the same thing. I follow the science. I listen to the science. We've got to follow the science. They just say it as a pat thing. Like, it doesn't even mean anything. I follow the science. I listen to the science. I believe in the science. Okay, well, we all know now that people that have been, quote, fully vaccinated are catching and spreading this thing. So where's your effing science? I follow the science. I follow the science. Why is Biden still telling people to get the shot? You can't spread COVID. I just follow the science. That's Karine Jean-Paul Van Damme Pierre Hall.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for everything you do.
You have been the guy when it comes to truth and sincerity.
Love the podcast.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Now, here's what Ben Shapiro, for what it's worth, I know a lot of you respect Ben. I like him a lot. I don't know him personally, but like him. Here's what Shapiro says. Pretty much everyone will get Omicron, whether you're vaccinated or not. Pretty much everyone will get Omicron. Omicron will result in mild or no symptoms for nearly everyone by percentage. The data tend to show that the vaccines minimize hospitalization and death. Now leave us alone. Not a chance, Ben. You know that. He goes on to say Omicron is 70 times more infectious than Delta. Parties filled with vaccinated people are getting Omicron. Masks, short of N95s, were never shown to be effective against even Delta, let alone Omicron. 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 You know, I never lived in fear of it. I was never afraid of it, but I am definitely not afraid of this. For what it's worth, again, I just feel I've got to say, I was, for me, And I'm just saying for me. And I don't think I'm a wimp. I'm probably not as tough as some guys, but I'm not a wimp. You know, if I get sick and I feel miserable, I can still power through things. When I got COVID back in October, I was sick. I mean, I was sick enough that I could not, there was just no pretending that I wasn't. There was no coming in here and putting on a happy face and trying to muscle through it. I physically couldn't do it, okay? So I have to say again, I am very aware of what COVID is. I know how sick it can make people and how miserable you can feel with it. I had it, and so did my wife, and she developed a wicked, nasty cough. I had a cough, but not nearly like hers. Her cough was so violent that we really did think we were probably going to have to go to the hospital with her. And then we both got the monoclonal antibody treatment. And I've said this, I don't mean to continue to be redundant, but with that, it everything changed. So I haven't had an antibody test yet. I now think I'm definitely going to do it soon. Like, I think very, very soon, either this weekend or next week, I'm going to go have my antibodies tested. If Omicron's a coming, am I afraid of it? Answer, no. What I went through in October, the way I felt in October, like if I weathered that based on everything I'm hearing about what they're saying about what Omicron is, no hill for a stepper. Like, I've ridden this horse already. It doesn't impress me. There is absolutely no sales pitch you could make to me at this point, particularly given the news about the J&J shot, where they say, don't take that when it clots blood. Oops, sorry. I mean, what is your sales pitch to a guy like me at this point, given what I've just told you? I was really sick in just October. I came through it with monoclonal antibodies. Now they say J&J causes blood clots. Oops, don't take that one anymore. And by the way, put on your masks. Mask, mask, masks. What? Tell me. Give me, and I'm sincere, and I open the phones to you. Go ahead and try. 610-850-0990, the number. It's open line Friday. 610-850-0990. Tell me, your host, what sales pitch can you make to me, Chris Stigall, given all the things that I... Because I could only personalize this, folks. I could talk about it in the abstract forever. But let me make this very personal to me. Let me make me the focus of this for just a minute, just for the exercise. So I didn't get the shots. Never took them in 2021. And finally, I caught COVID, and my wife caught COVID, and we didn't take the shots, and we caught COVID, and we got very sick. Not hospitalized sick, but quite sick. We got monoclonal antibodies. We came through it. We're now well. And now Omicron is here. And they say it's just so important you get the shot. And it's so important you go get boosted. And have you had your shot? Have you had your shot? Oh, not the J&J shot because it causes blood clots. But the others, Moderna and Pfizer, have you had those yet? No, I haven't. Why haven't you? Well, because apparently, even if I do, I have to live as though I didn't. That's what Dr. Fauci and Dr. Schaffner are saying on CNN. So I've had it. I've come through it. And even if I were to get the shot, I still have to wear masks around people? So explain to me exactly what, sincerely, I'm asking, is there anyone in this audience? Because occasionally I will get a genuinely concerned Twitter follower, for instance, who will tweet at me and they'll send me a link to some story about a talk show host who wouldn't get a shot and now he's dead. They always try to personalize it that way. Talk show host who was anti-vax dies. I'm not anti-anything. I'm trying to personalize this for myself for now for the sake of this discussion. Given what I've just told you about me, and I am personalizing this because I know that there are lots of people in this audience who are exactly the same as me. So for those of you who are shot enthusiasts, can you please tell me now what incentive I have for me to go out and get this shot? Why would I do it now? Based on, and I'm earnestly asking someone, I'm challenging you, earnestly to call me and make the case, Chris, here's why you need to get that shot. This is why it's important. Now more than ever, you get that shot. Can you do it?
If I were in your position, I would not. That would be it for me. Like, I would. It's just like, I don't need to get the shot, period.
I have not heard any medical professional or anyone else make a reasonable argument for me as to why I should. And now we're moving into a phase in Philadelphia where I'm going to have to produce paperwork that I have had this shot in order to participate in polite society, and so I'm just not going to participate, I guess. And I do wonder to myself, like, how long will that last? Is that a new thing forever? Are we producing papers at the Wells Fargo Center forever in order to go see a Flyers game? Here's my papers, Sergeant. Here. Why do I? How about we just put people in fatigues? Like, let's send the National Guard down to South Philadelphia to just take our papers there. You know, with the with the long guns slung over their shoulder, papers. We hand them over. Is everything in order, Sergeant? It appears you're all right. Move along.
This isn't going to work for Wells Fargo Center size thing, concerts, games. I was just with a good friend this week. He said, "Oh, it was fine. We went to a concert at the Electric Factory, and you know there was a really long line of just like them checking vaccine papers, like that you had your vaccine ID." I'm just like, "Okay, that's the Electric Factory." Think of a sold-out Wells Fargo Center or a Citizens Bank.
Right. Yeah. When Kenny Chesney comes and does his outdoor concert at the Link.
Yeah.
I mean, we have tickets to that show. We've had tickets to that show. He's canceled, like, I think twice now. Group of my friends and I were going to go back in 2020, I think, when he was coming through the first summer. And then, of course, they canceled it. And then he canceled it again this summer. But it's rescheduled for this coming summer of 2022. And we said last year, and we said it again, well, we're just not going. We're not going because we're not going to produce papers. How stupid. I mean, think of this, and you're exactly right. 60, 70,000 people trying to get into a sold-out concert at the Link or at the Wells Fargo Center. All of you have to produce paperwork to get in first to show that you've been given the shot. A shot that apparently seems powerless to stop the spread of anything. Do you see a breaking point with it? And if you do, what does it look like? Because I don't know anymore. I've wondered aloud for a long time, what does the end of this look like? And I don't know. And the only thing that I can surmise is the only way this ends is with new blood in power. People with a radically different view of the way a free society should operate. Ron DeSantis comes to mind. A national Ron DeSantis, a Congress full of Ron DeSantis's, legislatures full of Ron DeSantis's. A governor of Pennsylvania, for instance. That would be nice. Wouldn't that be nice? A governor. And this is why when I asked the question of people who are running for governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, how do you feel about mandates? It means a lot to me that they not only say, oh, there will be no mandates from me if I'm your governor, but it also means a lot to me when they say, and there will be no mandates for anyone in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and I will put a stop to it personally if anyone tries. And I am committed to working with the legislature to making sure if anyone tries to force you to take a medicine you don't want to take or put something on your face that you don't want to put on your face, I will personally commit to you. You see, I'm of the crazy belief that you can run Pennsylvania-wide right now with the message, vote for me and I can promise you no one is going to force you to take a medicine you don't want or strap something on your face if you don't want to. Vote for me and I will personally work with the legislature to ensure you will not be forced to inject something in your system or put something on your face anymore. I will personally, as your governor, make sure that is never allowed again. Here's what we can't have. Someone who says, oh, I'll never make that mandatory for Pennsylvanians, but if Philadelphia wants to do it, eh. You can't have that. That's not Ron DeSantis. So I would just say, as a friendly nudge to any Republican running on the I'm anti-mandates for all of Pennsylvania if I'm governor, but I, you know, if cities want to tie you down and put a mask on your face and stick you full of medicine to let you eat dinner, I mean, who am I to stop them? That's not going to be a winning message for you if you're running as a Republican in a primary. I'll just say that generally as a piece of advice to anybody who might need to hear it. Open line Friday, 610-850-0990, the number. Come on in, 610-850-0990, to Carol in Vineland. Hey, Carol, glad you called Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing really well. I just want to, you're talking about having your antibodies tested. I encourage you, please go and have your antibodies tested. My husband and I, we are celebrating our one-year anniversary of having COVID, and we've been tracking our antibodies. I talked to you maybe
now. Is
it?
May I ask,
ago.
Carol? I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm just curious. Is there
sure.
like a cake involved? Do you take it out of the freezer? And you...
No, we okay. did go out and have a burger and fries last night.
Good for you. Just having a little fun. Yeah, please go ahead.
But we've been tracking. I spoke to you. I guess it was maybe 6 to 8 weeks ago about tracking my antibodies.
Yes.
So we've been doing it at 3 month intervals, and after a year. We still have antibodies coursing through our veins.
Really?
They have not diminished at all.
Not diminished at all, even?
No. In fact, right before Thanksgiving, my son was diagnosed with COVID, and he was not vaccinated. My husband had been with him, and so my husband started having a scratchy throat, stuffy nose, symptoms again. So he went and got himself tested just to make sure that he was okay. His COVID test came back negative. This was right around Thanksgiving. So 3 weeks later, we went and had our antibodies tested. The interesting thing with my husband's antibodies, his shot up. His antibodies increased like 50 points from his September test.
Really?
Yes.
So maybe it was some version of COVID, perhaps.
Yes. So his body kicked in. Made antibodies, and he's fine. His COVID test was negative.
Yeah, but do you
so
think?
I'm telling you.
So do you think maybe that it was in fact COVID though, and it was just an incorrect negative test?
I don't know because it was just like the sniffles, and he had a scratchy throat.
Which is what they're saying Omicron is, right? Like it's
right.
just a mild thing.
But his COVID test came back negative.
Right.
So we don't know if it was a cold, COVID, whatever. But his body. Made antibodies against something.
It's okay. What do you think, Carol? I mean, and this is earnest. Like, I love everything you're telling me. This is very, very helpful. When do you think we'll get to a place where you get the sniffles and a sore throat and we're not testing for it anymore? Like, that used to be a cold, right?
I don't know, because they're making everybody paranoid, scared, whatever. It's just awful. I refuse to live my life that way. I mean, he went and got tested. I was like, I'm fine. I'm good because I'm over it. I had the virus. I feel my natural immunity is good. I'm no young chick. Let me tell you something. I'm a senior citizen. I've always kept myself healthy all my life, ate well, took my vitamins. I depend on my immune system. People just have to get over it in their heads. You just got to stop listening to these crazy people on television.
So did you ever take any kind of shot at all or no for this?
No.
Never
no.
did?
Absolutely not, no.
And you won't now, I guess?
Absolutely not, because it's going to mess up my natural immunity. That's what I feel. In fact, you had someone on Horowitz
yep.
who said that, I believe.
Yes, he did.
On one of your programs one morning. He said that if you take the shot... It messes up your natural immunity.
I don't doubt it. I mean, Daniel Horowitz, and it makes total sense to me. I mean, that's exactly the way I feel about my own system. I had it. I don't know how you can on balance. Now, I know this isn't always medically true, but when it comes to viruses, I don't know how you can do better than your own natural immunity kicking.
I know.
I really don't.
I know. Well, a year before this COVID thing came out. October of 2019. Unfortunately, my mother passed away. And at her funeral, somebody gave me something at that funeral. I was so sick for a month. Now, this was October 2019. And I coughed for a month. I don't know what I had, but a family member came from San Francisco
of course.
To the funeral. it could have been COVID at that time.
Sure sounds like it was. Yeah.
You know, I was sicker then than I was. Well, COVID was had different symptoms, but I was pretty sick in 2019, but I got over it.
Well, listen, I first of all, I'm glad you're well. Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm glad I'm well. And as far as my head and my mind is concerned, I'm over this. And, you know, I listen to your program. The doctors you have on your program make sense to me. I listen to Dr. McCary that comes on Fox. He's the only one that makes any sense.
Yeah.
He talks about natural immunity.
Well,
how could you...
Yeah. Carol, I wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to take a couple other calls here, but it's been so good to talk with you, and I'm glad you're well. Be well and stay in touch. Merry Christmas to you. If we don't talk before the new year, Happy New Year to you, too. Amy's up next on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. I was just telling Eddie that when Charlie, and I don't know if I'm saying his name right, Giroux came on to talk about him running.
That's right.
He gave out his cell phone number, and I took it, and I immediately texted him.
May I just say, and I'm sorry to interrupt you on this, but Charlie Giroux is the first guy that has ever come on this show and said, I'm running for any office, never mind governor, and here's my cell phone if anyone wants to call it. And I thought, oh, my gosh, does he know what he's doing? So you did. You were one of these people that took it down and called him. Is that right?
Yes, and I just said, you know, I appreciated that he's so transparent, he's so available, and that was great. So then you had Bill McSween on the other day, and he, you know, he kind of tap danced around this, you know, banning mandate thing. That was mad. So I texted Giroux, and I said, you know, with all this going on, and now the restaurants in Philly, you know, you have to have the vaccine card, all this stuff. I said, are you, you know, against mandates? And he goes, totally against mandates. This is like on a text. And then I said, would you consider banning them? And he said, yes, I would. And I want you to let people know. And I think, you know, you definitely have to ask, and I know you will, all these candidates coming up, we have to put their, you know, hand to the fire and say, like, are you going to or not? Like, we can't have these people tap dancing around. I'm just so sick of everything.
So wait a minute. I just so I'm clear. So when you when we had Bill McSween on and we talked about Ron DeSantis banning mandates statewide, and I presented that to McSween, you didn't like his answer. Is that what you're saying?
No, because it was he was kind of standoffish about it. He wasn't committed to it, and I think it's so vital. We can't have these mandates. Like, my kids are in school; they have the mask mandate still going on in their school, and they're like, oh, we're following the CDC, you know, this and that. And I'm a nurse, and it's like, if I really thought these masks worked, that would be one thing. But it's just such a joke. You know, I just...
All right, so to be clear, I just want to be clear, I hear you, Amy. You're telling me that if there's a candidate running statewide in Pennsylvania, you want to hear him or her say, I want all mandates banned, period, full stop, and I would not allow any mandate to happen anywhere in any community. That's what you want to hear.
I mean, I agree, because I think it should be up to the individual.
Okay.
Unless people are dropping dead in the streets.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, then we could talk about it again, but it's just, the masks don't work. These kind of things don't work. And I don't know. And also, I just, as a side note, I wanted to say, did your children receive any kind of letter about some mask violence that could be occurring today through TikTok? Because I got a letter from my superintendent in Innabar, and so did Ridley. And I'm like, what is this? I mean, it's just, they want to scare people.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
Well, I think that there is unfortunately, there is some stupid real social media thing that's flying around with kids on TikTok. Some stupid, phony, made-up, you know, mass day of school violence kind of thing. At my kid's school, somebody wrote something on a bathroom wall, don't come to school, you know, and it got the school freaked out, and the school reacted. They caught the kid that wrote it on the wall, and it was all, I mean, it's nonsense. I don't mean to downplay school violence, but this is just silly. So, yeah, it is real. It's not made up. The school's not trying to scare you. It is a thing that's going around out there, but it's going on nationwide, Amy, so, yeah. Nothing to legitimize, but that is a real thing, unfortunately, that's happening. I wish it's in instances like these that I'm very, very much for bringing back what I actually had when I was in elementary school, a wooden paddle. I'd like to beat the tar out of a child that writes they're going to shoot up a school on a school bathroom wall. Just give me a couple of minutes in a room with a kid who wrote that on a bathroom wall. That's what we need to bring back. This is Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. Open line Friday. Come on in. 610-850-0990. Anything about Sex and the City? I've never seen an episode. I don't know the show. I know they've got another movie coming out or whatever, another Sex and the City movie or something.
Some HBO Now thing. I don't know if it's like a short series or if it is just a movie.
Mr. Big, the guy that plays Mr. Big, that's Sarah Jessica Parker's love interest in the show, I guess. Now he's been accused by two women who've said he raped them. I don't know. It's always interesting to me when these things come out in conjunction with somebody who's launching a project. Like, I don't even know who this guy is. I don't know anything about the show. I don't know him. I don't care about him. I don't – whether they're true, whether it's false. But this is wall-to-wall today news. Mr. Big, alleged to have raped two women who have come forward and want to remain anonymous. I don't know him. I don't know the women. I don't know the show. I don't know anything about it. I've never heard of the guy, really. I don't know anything about the guy, but now I know he's in a show that's launching a new thing. I don't know, a new movie, new series, new short episode. And now the women say they've been raped.
I don't.
It's challenging to hear stories like that when they coincide with the launch of a project. That's what bothers me about it. It's you know, and the guy, by the way, categorically denies it. He said, I know what the line is. I know no means no. And like, that's that. But if it's a lie, it's the absolute worst thing you could do to a guy. If it's a lie, if it's true, it's obviously horrible. But if it's a lie, if it's made up or whatever, you don't recover from that. It's like being called a racist. It's the same thing. If you're accused of being a rapist or a racist, there's no coming back from either of those things.
No.
It's like the ultimate nuclear weapon someone could launch at you. Telephone number 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990 on Open Line Friday. We've been doing this as an homage to Rush. And by the way, thank you, Fast Eddie. Finally got my copy of this here. I just got this. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago. Bo Snerdly, the official program observer of the Rush Limbaugh Show for 30 years. He wrote this great tribute book to Rush called Rush on the Radio. A tribute from his sidekick for 30 years. Finally got my own copy. Can't wait to sit and read this during a little time off.
It was either that or the box of meat. That's what I was going to get you.
Well, there's always next year.
True.
And by the way, there's still some shopping days left. For those of you, big meat is what with prices out there, I understand. And everybody, inflation. And as long as it's American.
From America.
And it comes in a box.
Of meat.
American box meat. 610-850-0990 on Open Line Friday. Our tribute to Rush. Let's go to Cherry Hill and talk to David first. David, glad you called. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you today? Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. So, recently my employer has imposed the mandate vaccine on me, and the booster, that is. So I already got the other shots to remain employed. So the other day I went, I sat there, and I got a little lecture how I don't want the Omicron. I don't want the variant. And that I'm doing this for my loved ones.
Oh, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Generally, you don't have to tell me specifically what you do for a living. Or is it hard to say?
I can tell Eddie off the
Well, I mean, can you just, I'm just curious, just the general sphere of the arena in which you work, or is it, there's no way to say it without being specific?
Like sports media.
Okay, very good. You're in sports media. And so you were told that in order to keep yourself and your loved ones safe from Omicron, you needed to do this?
No, this is the young lady injecting me with the booster.
Oh.
As I'm sitting there, you know, she lectures me that that I don't want the new variant. And then I'm doing this for my loved ones. And I just sat there and I'm just like, I don't know if it ends, though, Chris, you know.
So just so I'm clear, the woman is telling you that she's afraid of it, or she's telling you good for you for doing it for your family and loved ones?
I think she interpreted my reluctance to receive it. And, you know, she said she had it and she can't afford to get it again because she gets the I don't want the long haul COVID, which seems to be a new, that's like the third time I've heard this long haul COVID symptoms. It's not flatten the curve. It's not to not die. Now it's long, you don't want the long haul.
Yeah. We're always creating new terminology, aren't we, David?
Yeah, they keep moving it. Moving the post. So
the new thing is take the shot so that you don't get long haul COVID or it's not as severe. That is the new sales pitch, right?
It just seems like that's the talking point these days.
So you got the booster, though. You've had now.
I got the booster.
And which kind did you get?
I got the Pfizer.
Uh huh. So you've had two, and now you get the booster. And have you actually been sick with COVID?
You know, not officially. I contend in 2019 in the fall, I had a major respiratory ailment for like a month. Mm-hmm. That, you know, they checked me for pneumonia. I have asthma, and it was, you know, it was something I never dealt with. They ended up getting me out of steroid, and it cleared it up real nice. But I took the antibodies in March in 2020, and nothing showed up. But up until this point, I have yet to receive any kind of positive tests. So
you're in sports media, and I would just ask you, because I was talking about this off the show today, I watched that Flyers game last night in Calgary. There's no one in the arena. It's empty. And I just thought to myself, here we go again. Is this where we're going with sports again? And all these teams, like 16 players on hockey teams right now, at, you know, the Washington football team, they basically have no roster to play the Eagles this weekend. I mean, is this, sports is sort of the leading indicator in this, aren't they?
Yeah, I would think so. And, you know, now we're, yeah, I just think everyone's getting a little more cautious, and there's a slight overreaction on in my opinion. But I tend to think, you know, just let's get out there and play.
Well, like what more can we do? At what point, David, can we do more? Right?
Yeah. Like you said earlier, I think the only way we get around it is a administration change or somebody in there that wants to deal with how to treat it, you know, other than boosters and vaccines, and just get ahead of it that way.
Is it improbable that we ever come to a day where you just got COVID, David has COVID, and it's not a thing where we test you and we add you to a ticker on cable news? Are we ever just going to get to a day where, David's got a cold? Like, can we return to that again, or are we just not, you know, it's not politically useful right now? Is that what it is, maybe?
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. Like, even our kids, you know, they got a sniffy, you know, a runny nose and a cough, and God, you got to run and get them tested because, you know, God forbid they have it, but God forbid they're, like, pointed out in the classroom because, you know, it's
oh, and then you've got to isolate the kids. Right? You do this contact tracing thing, like, you know, it's Clue in the, you know, library with the candlestick. I mean, we it's so dumb. David, listen, thank you for calling, and Merry Christmas to you. I'm grateful you listen.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, pal. Let's go to North Wales, talk to Sean next. Sean, I'm glad you called. Good morning. Thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi. I don't know if you remember me. I called about a few months ago about a vaccine mandate and whether or not I was going to take it in November.
Refresh our memory.
Yeah, I was going to. I'm part of the my job is in the healthcare field, and this is when the big vaccine mandates were
For healthcare workers. Okay, and you were trying to decide whether or not to take it to keep your job. And I probably asked whether you ultimately decided to do that or not. Did you?
Yes, I did. I opted to do it.
Okay.
And I was the one that grabbed the J&J because I wanted to get it one and done. I didn't want to wait for like 4 weeks later to get the another one.
I'm sure you were delighted to hear this news this morning then, weren't you?
Yeah, but... Yeah. To be perfectly honest, it's not anything new to me.
Yeah.
This was like of the when these three vaccines came out, I remember the J&J one was the very first story that had issues that were they reported of a serious side effect involving blood clots in women.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
I remember this vividly because I mentioned it to my doctor because I was very hesitant on getting any of these vaccines.
Well, they paused it, if you remember, the J&J for a bit, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that. And now they removed it from their recommended list.
It's crazy. So are you, okay, all things being equal, I mean, you did it to keep your job. We understand that. You feel what about it? And by the way, I mean that we're now talking about, we're still returning to... As I said, empty arenas up in Canada and masking anyway. And I mean, where is this going?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, we're regressing to a state of like pre-vaccination.
Yep.
And it's like, why? Why? I mean, all the talk that I got from my company doctor, in quotes, talking about essentially all he said, if there was any questions about any of the vaccines, essentially he said, granted, he said it in a nicer way, but he essentially said, shut up and take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing. Just shut up and take the shot.
Yeah.
What if I'm pregnant? Shut up and take the shot. What if I have a skin disease? Shut up and take the shot. What if I have a problem with my kidneys? Shut up and take the shot.
Yeah.
It was a diplomatic shut up and take the shot.
I know. And so you've done it and you kept your job. I'm glad about that. I don't know. Boosters?
And my reasoning is, look, if the Lord wants to take me with COVID, he has full right to do so. But if he wants to take me from a side effect from a vaccine, again, he has every right to do so. So
yeah, I mean,
That is my thinking behind it.
All right, Sean, thank you for your call. I'm not, it's not like I think because you take a shot, you're going to die. I mean, I hope I'm not communicating that either. I mean, it has nothing to do with whether I think you should or shouldn't. I will never, ever, ever tell you whether you should or shouldn't. I feel like I have to keep saying that. You can make the decision about the shots. My point is, we all know the folly in it now. It's not a matter of whether you should or shouldn't. It's a matter of the people who say, I don't want to, being forced to, and then you having to try to make the case as to why. I mean, it isn't that I care that you would take it, and it isn't that I think you're going to die if you do. I'm only focused on those of us who don't want to do it. I mean, I have moved away from even discussing it with you if you've already done it. I have no qualms with you for whatever reason if you've done it. And I don't think it's a death sentence just because you did. I am a voice now representing myself and I think, I hope, millions of people who still don't want it. They don't want to be made to take it. And I have yet to hear a single person make the case to me who's now had COVID, never had the shot, why I should go get it now. No one has made a convincing argument to me. No one's even tried. And you know why? Because they can't. That's the bottom line. There is no sensible, logical argument to be made. There's no sales pitch to be made. I mean, here's the old gimmick. Well, if you take it, you won't get as sick. Well, I've already had it. And I was pretty sick. So what's your sales pitch to me now? Well, you don't want to get that sick again, do you? I don't have any evidence to believe that I will. Like, natural immunity kind of prevents that, as a matter of fact. Jim's in, is Jim still in Levittown there? Eddie, thank you. Today, working the phones. It's Open Line Friday. Jim, Levittown, thanks for your patience. Hi.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, I was thinking this is like the baby steps the left always tries to take. Because if you remember a year ago, they were talking about that everybody should have a vaccine passport, and they said, no, we're not going to do it. But guess what? Now they're doing it.
Yep.
And who's to say this ain't a coordinated effort?
It is. It wasn't that long ago that Fauci was chuckling at the notion of forcing people to get a shot. He was, remember?
Yeah, he's a clown.
Yeah. That's Jim, thank you. It's Fauci has been on record as saying masks don't work and we're not going to mandate shots. He's within a calendar year. He's gone from that to, yep, well, 03 there. Not only should you get, well, let's do both. Let's do the third, what do we got, one, two, three Fauci clips. Let's do the third Fauci, then the second Fauci.
It is unfortunate that there's a considerable degree of misinformation and information that is propagated by the social media. And the only way we can think of countering misinformation and disinformation is by literally flooding the system with correct information. So I would encourage people. I mean, when you look at tweets that occur and Facebook postings that are absolutely inaccurate, misleading, conspiratorial, or what have you, those who feel that they want to counter that should actually get on the internet, get on your Facebook, get on your tweets, and counter that misinformation. Talk about what the real true information is. We can get through even a winter surge by implementing the countermeasures that we have: vaccinations, boosters, masking in indoor settings, being prudent in caring, for example, about wearing a mask indoors. You can enjoy the holiday season with your family if you're vaccinated and your family members are vaccinated.
Literally back in the spring of 2020, he chuckled at the notion of mandatory masking and that masks were silly and not effective and weren't going to protect you from squat. He chuckled at the notion of mandates. Nah, we don't need to mandate people take anything. Open Line Friday, telephone number 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. I've said it before, and I don't mean to bore you, but anything anyone else is talking about is not as important as this. Sorry. I typically wouldn't be that certain. I would say, hey, look, you listen to the show you want. They'll talk about what they want. I talk about what I want. I am telling you, there is nothing more significant in the country right now than telling people they must inject something in their person in order to participate in polite society. There is nothing more significant than that. Not a judicial ruling, not a TikTok school warning, not China. There is nothing more important than Americans being told they must take a medicine they don't want to take in order to participate in polite society. And your freedom to assemble and move about, if this is allowed to stand and it is not aggressively fought back against, there is no point in discussing anything else. I don't mean to sound fatalist, but that's the way I feel. This is Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. You're
very pushy, you know. I like to think of it as opportunistic.
Now, more of Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer and 990theanswer.com.
I don't want to up against the news here, folks. So those of you hanging, I appreciate your patience. I will. I promise. We've got a whole nother hour coming, so I don't want to race anybody by trying to cram them in here before the news. Also coming up, Carolyn Aver. Is it Caroline or Carolyn? Do we know? I haven't met her yet.
I'll tell you once I find out.
Well, you don't know either. Right. Anyway, she's requested a visit with us, too. She's a candidate for Congress running against Brian Fitzpatrick. There are, I don't know, I think we think at least two or three Republicans now. We've talked with one this week. We're going to talk with a second who's challenging Brian Fitzpatrick in the Republican primary. So she's on the way. More of your calls coming up, too. All right? 610-850-0990 on
this
Open Mind Friday.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer. A Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Your common sense is really keeping me sane. Thank you.
I start in the morning with Chris, and then I go all the way through the day until I get out of my car when I come home.
Good morning, man. Love your show.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Happy Friday! Telephone number 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com on Open Line Friday. And Merry Christmas to you, by the way. I should mention, right off the top here, if you are not a regular podcast listener, yesterday, if I may, yesterday I did an interview with Eric Schmidt. He is running for the United States Senate in Missouri to replace Roy Blunt. He's the attorney general of the state of Missouri. Now, if you're feeling kind of deflated and depressed about Republicans who just don't seem to be doing much by way of mask mandates and vaccine mandates, this is a very impressive guy. And I think you're going to be really impressed with the interview and the conversation. So run over there and check it out on the podcast, my conversation with the attorney general of Missouri. And if he's an added addition to the United States Senate next to Josh Hawley from Missouri, that ain't bad.
That would cancel out Lurch.
Oh, now, wait a minute. That sounds fatalist in there. You think Lurch is headed to the Senate and there's nothing you can do to stop it? Is that what you're saying in there, Fast Eddie?
Chris, I have serious questions about our election process, especially now that we're masking and, you know, vaxxing and social distancing all over again.
Okay, so that's not a condemnation of the field of candidates. You just think the election is such that it's stacked against anybody that would be nominated.
Oh, yeah.
Now, does
seat's
that
hot.
Does that cause you... Well, see, let's be clear. We're talking about two different things. Are we talking about the ability of a Republican to beat Lurch, or are we talking about the system being rigged that Lurch can't be beaten?
Ah, that's a good question.
Those are two different issues.
Unfortunately, at the moment, a little bit of both, to be honest.
You think both a little?
A little bit of both, yep.
All right. 610-8. Now, Fast Eddie is an eternal pessimist in there. You should know that, too.
Correct.
He has a problem with being a pessimist by nature.
It's a Philadelphian for life. That's the...
610-850-0990 on Open Line Friday. Let's head over to Middletown, Delaware County. Talk to Tom, who's been patient. Tom, thanks for hanging. Welcome to Open Line Friday. Hello.
Hey, Chris. How are you today?
Very well, sir, and yourself. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you.
Hey, one of the things flying under the radar right now is the PA redistricting. So the preliminary map was presented yesterday. It's gerrymandered, and I tie it into the COVID because if we lose too many state House seats, it wouldn't matter if we won a governor's race. So they're taking comments. You know, they can go to redistricting, easy for me to say, .state.pa.us, and you can comment. And I think I told January 18th to try and get in on this, and I think it's important.
Yes, it's an interesting, I'm glad you brought it up, and you're right, there isn't a lot being discussed because it's going very well for Democrats. And right. And the Democrats don't want to call attention to the fact that the House seems to be rigged in such a way. This is an interesting process, and I don't want to get too down in the weeds with it and bore folks, but you're right to point it out. So the Supreme Court, and I didn't really understand the process until I read about it a while ago, you have ostensibly it's supposed to be a bipartisan commission that draws up the map, right? It's supposed to be two Republicans and two Democrats, but there's a caveat. The Supreme Court picks who chairs the committee. Now, what does that mean? If the Pennsylvania Supreme Court gets to pick who's the fifth member and chair of that committee, who do you think this Supreme Court's going to pick?
Yep, his bio's on the website, a guy named Mark Nordenberg.
That's right. A Democrat.
Professor, and yep.
And so this chair, that's what happens then. This chair has the third kind of deciding vote. Think of it as sort of a mini Supreme Court stacked 3-2 for the Democrats because the Supreme Court placed the chairman. And so they have approved a map, which greatly bolsters Democrats in the House of Representatives in Harrisburg.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, on say, Middletown, which I'm familiar with, they've taken Middletown Township, the 168th Legislative District, and they've moved Haverford and Radnor into it. But if you know, our closest neighbor is Aston, more aligned with us. We share walking trails with Aston Township. Go to the same churches. Our kids play the same little league. Little Hospital was central to both Aston and Middletown. Yet, they move us to the most northern end of the county to gerrymander.
Yes.
The gerrymander. So,
yeah. No, it's
important.
It is very important, and there is public comment. You're right. And the Republicans, by the way, on the committee, and Benninghoff is one of the Republican House, well, the Republican House member on the committee. He is stridently, he's screaming, his lungs out on this thing that he doesn't want it to happen.
Right.
But I'm not sure what they do to stop it, to be very honest with you, with Wolf signing off on it ultimately.
Real quick, so I'm sure you got people. I'm also I got two shots, me and my wife. We both got COVID about 6 weeks ago.
Oof.
Wasn't horrible, but we were relatively sick. And
well, here's what they'll say, Tom. They'll say, well, it was because you got that shot. You didn't die.
But you know what? They told me if we got the shot, which I was reluctant to in the first place, both my wife, that we wouldn't get it at all.
That's right.
And so that was the lie, and I'm not getting any more shots, so you can put me in that column.
Good man.
They're not
all right.
Picking me.
There you go, Tom. Hey, great to talk to you, Tom. I'm glad you're well, sincerely. I imagine there were a good number of people like Tom that said, I've told you this, I'm confident this audience is full of people who said, okay, yes, I can't wait to go out and get this shot, so I won't get COVID and I won't spread COVID. And then you heard, oh, no, you can still get and spread COVID. You just won't get as sick. Oh, well, that's different than what you said before. Yeah, just shut up. Here's another one. Jen's in Phoenixville next. Hey, Jen, welcome to Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer, Open Line Friday. Good morning. Let's try it again, Jen. Hi, sorry about that.
Yes. That's okay. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, terrific. I'm calling you because I had heard you mention how you want to get an antibody test, and I had an interesting experience last week with my healthcare provider out in the Main Line area, close to Exton, in a large hospital. I had sent a request because I was getting some blood work done anyway for my annual physical, and I had said, hey, is there any way I can get a COVID antibody test? Just throw it in there with all the rest of it. And I got an interesting response back that basically said no. And it said that our providers have not been ordering the tests because they're following the FDA. And the FDA, and this is in quotes from them, the FDA is reminding the public and healthcare providers that the results from the COVID antibody test should not be used to evaluate a person's level of immunity or protection from COVID at any time. And here's the interesting part. And especially after the person received a COVID-19 vaccination. So I found that kind of odd. And
they also had said that the antibody test can help identify people who may have had a prior infection, but more research is needed in people who have received a COVID vaccination. And they said they didn't want to do it, that the doctor wouldn't interpret it, and that insurance wouldn't cover it. So I thought a minute, and I sent something back to him because I have three children. Two of them got the antibody test. It was over 6 months ago. One of them got in PA and the other one got one because she had moved out to Ohio. And I responded with that. And I got a very short and abrupt answer back saying, I've ordered the antibody test, but you'll have to do it at this particular place because they will not allow me to order it to any other lab. And you have to know the insurance may not cover it and the doctor will not interpret the results. How about that?
Huh? Wow, that's how medically sound. That starts to sound like a yeah. How do you interpret that?
Well, I know if the chips are down and I'm in the hospital, that doctor is not going to help me out at all. I'm not going to get any ivermectin. I'm not going to get anything from that doctor. So I'm glad this little exercise happened because now I know. And I've had this doctor for a long time. I really like her, yeah. But she's affiliated with a large medical group.
Isn't it strange how doctors are starting to tell you what they just simply will not do for you? Even when you say, yeah. I really would like to try this or explore this or I have questions about this, I it's alarming to me the number of stories I'm hearing like yours where doctors just say, no, I will not. Mm-hmm. That's strange. Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I wasn't really asked. I was asking just because I'm polite. You know, now I realize that I'm going to have to tell them now instead of politely asking for certain things. Should I remain with them?
Yeah, it's strange that we have to get tough with our doctors, but I guess we're going to have to. Like, I never imagined a day where I was going to have to start, like, you know, hectoring my doctor to do some blood work for me. And I'll pay for it. Just why don't you just draw my blood and tell me what I want to know and stop hassling me about it? Like, what a bizarre... Why are we at a place where we're begging our doctors to draw our blood and test it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
It's very telling, very telling. And I'm not sure if it's that way in every other state.
It isn't. It's not. Pennsylvania is particularly weird and prickly about it. At monoclonals, same thing. Like, you got to go beg and on bended knee. Oh, pretty please. Please tell me about my antibodies. Please, may I have monoclonals? And there are too many doctors that are being very weird and persnickety and standoffish. I don't, I'll just leave it out there generally and ask the question, I don't know why. But anyway, thank you, Jen. Right. I'm very glad you called. Merry Christmas to you. Jim's in Fox Chase next on Open Line Friday. Hey, Jim, glad you called. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. That was a good call. So I had COVID myself. I had it a year ago, and I was treated with hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, a Z-Pack, prednisone, knocked it out, and I was at least as sick as you. Knocked it out in about 4 or 5 days. And
Never had the shot?
No.
Never did?
Wouldn't even consider it. In fact, I have a good doctor. In fact, my brother-in-law is my doctor, so I talk about this. We go back and forth every day on this practically. And no, we don't need another Governor Youngkin, please. I can say that emphatically. Nobody has impressed me yet. But one of the things, too, that I wanted to bring up to you
Hang on just a second, because I want to spend a moment with your brother-in-law doctor. He practices here in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
And he's willingly talking with you openly about other therapeutics.
In fact, go ahead. Shoot. Another station actually gave me almost 5 minutes uninterrupted one time to talk about this. I'm pretty knowledgeable.
Well, it's not that. I'm just more curious because related to the last call, your brother-in-law is not standoffish and persnickety and telling you, would you knock it off, just take the shot, and no, I'm not giving you therapeutics, and we're not talking about monoclonals, and I'm not going to test your antibodies. Sounds like your brother-in-law is open to all of these things, but he's in rare company.
In fact, my brother-in-law wouldn't recommend getting the shot at all.
Really?
Under any circumstances, because just everybody that he has treated for COVID. And he, this is the thing, he has treated people for COVID. He doesn't go by protocols and tell, go ahead and quarantine. No, he treats them, gives them early treatment. Nobody has even gone to the hospital.
Okay, now your brother's not, he's not a quack, is he? He didn't get his degree online or something. He's a real doctor?
No, my brother's a real doctor. Right. Mother-in-law, yes.
All right.
And, yeah, we don't need another Yonkin. And the other thing, too, is, but I've looked into this, and
what do you, now, hang on, now that's a curious statement. I heard you say that twice now. What do you mean we don't need another Yonkin?
Well, I don't want a guy who's going to come in and say, oh, I won't impose any mandates across the state, statewide, whatever. No, we need somebody like, well, what's his name? Oh, geez. Floyd, DeSantis.
We need
another DeSantis who's going to say, no, you're not going to be able to shut down Philadelphia. No, under any circumstances, just like Japan said.
Right.
Under any circumstances, you will not be able to impose a vaccine upon anybody for any reason.
Got it. Roger, Jim. Thank you so much, my friend. Glad you called. 610-850-0990 in Plymouth Meeting. It's Maria. Good morning, Maria.
I was getting so nervous on the phone here. First of all, I have 2 points, but my first point, Chris, is I want to give you a compliment. You're the second Rush.
Oh, heavens. My gosh. Merry Christmas, Maria.
I always thought this from when you were on the other station. I always felt that I turned to you just like I turned to Rush. I couldn't wait for the first words to come out of you, your mouth.
That is...
I really do. And seriously, I think you're very interesting. I can listen to you. You don't have to take phone calls because you're very interesting. And that was what I wanted to tell you for Christmas. Merry Christmas. The second Rush.
That is extraordinarily kind. And I will take your gift and thank you profusely for it, Maria.
The second point I wanted to say, back in spring of 2020, I don't know if you remember Ezekiel Emanuel. He was being interviewed. And he said then, which I can't believe it's coming true, that he didn't think our masks would come off till maybe the end of 2022. And I thought, my God, he's crazy. This is 2020. It can't be 2 years. And I think it's going to come true.
You know
what?
He
was being interviewed, and I can't remember who was doing the interviewing. They asked him all about, because everything was going on at the time.
Yep.
Everybody was scared and all. And I'll never forget that.
It was on MSNBC. I remember it, too. In fact, I think we played it here. Yes.
And I thought, he's crazy. This can't go on for 2 years. And I can't believe. And then I knew, I always became skeptical that I always felt there was a virus, but it was political when he said that. That if he's 2022 was the election and 2 years ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then the third thing. I was just going to say,
wouldn't you hold that thought? Because I said earlier this morning, I could take shows, and I'm probably going to do this weekend. I could go back and listen to shows I did exactly 1 year ago, and I bet play monologues of shows from last year, and you wouldn't even know the difference if I played them taped or live today, because we're talking about the exact same things as though the last year didn't happen.
Right. I thought of it as soon as this was going on until 2022. I thought we were going to be over with all this by now. Then the third thing I wanted to tell you was I'm one of the women that have blood clots problems. And both my cardiologist and primary doctor had told me to wait because I'm prone to them and that I should wait. So I haven't had the vaccine and I don't intend to get it either because of that.
All right, Maria. Well, listen, I'm grateful that you called. It is so good to hear from you, and I hope you continue to stay well. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for listening. All right, at 820, telephone number 610-850-0990 on Open Line Friday. We'll continue with your phone calls. And those of you that are in the 1st Congressional District of Pennsylvania, there are a lot of people that think they could do a better job for you than Representative Fitzpatrick in the House. We'll talk with one of those folks next on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun.
Merry Christmas! Thanks so much for listening to Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. I know there are a ton of places you could be every morning, and Sincerely, more than ever, I know you could be streaming things. You could be listening online to many, many other programs. You could be dialing around on your radio or watching cable news. That you spend time with us every day, it is never, ever lost on us. More than ever, I am so grateful for your listenership. And we'll continue with opening line Friday in just a bit, too, if you want to hop in here at 610-850-0990. I want to introduce you to another candidate. Those of you that are in the 1st Congressional District of Pennsylvania, that's Bucks County, all of Bucks County, and kind of a small part of northern Montgomery County, like Lansdale and Hatfield and Souderton and Telford, which is a great conservative area, by the way. And so, I think that chunk of Montgomery County may well be what keeps, well, I'll let our next guest tell me why she thinks, but I have a theory about that particular chunk of Montgomery County being incredibly important to the future of whichever Republican ends up becoming the nominee and running again next fall. Caroline Avery is one of those candidates. You can go to carolineforcongress.us to find more about her. She joins us now. Miss Avery, welcome to the show. Thanks for your time. Hi.
Good morning. Hello, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. I appreciate you reaching out to the show to talk to maybe your future constituents. You've decided to run for Congress out there, and I have heard it said over the years that I've covered this 1st Congressional District of Pennsylvania, a lot of dissatisfaction amongst Republicans with Brian Fitzpatrick. Why have you decided to run against him in the primary?
Yes, yes. Brian's not doing a very good job for us, is he? And even on his Twitter page, I'll say, he says he's fiercely independent. I think he's completely forgotten that he has an R next to his name. Okay, he seems to be doing whatever he pleases, and he's trashing our constitutional republic on the way. I tried to reach Brian for nearly, I would say, about 7 months, where I called him almost every day in a row and got no reply back. I spoke to his, his aides, and they were nice enough to a degree, and as nice as they could be to cover up for him, basically. And he never ever bothered to get back to me. And so a lot of my friends and neighbors and people I'm involved with kept complaining to me about him and asking me to run against him because I've got the backbone to do it and I've got the chops to do it. And I'm not a politician. I'm just a housewife who is pissed off. at what's going on in this country.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh. I appreciate the gumption. I was gonna ask your background. You've never done anything political before, professionally, have you been working at home? What's your background?
No, sir. Hey, I've done everything from dig ditches to go-go dance to. I owned my own business that was successful for about 14 years. I was an assistant to trainers. On race day, race horses.
Really?
And I didn't do anything illegal to make a living, and I didn't live off the government. And I grew up. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. So I'm unafraid of my past. I own it. I embrace it. At an early age, I learned that if you don't pay your light bill, they turn the lights off.
Yeah, novel concept, right?
Yeah, I have no illusions about what's going on or how difficult it's going to be. Okay, we have big problems here, and I can't do anything about the whole country, but maybe I can do something about starting with our district. Okay, our republic's in huge trouble, okay, from the executive to the legislative to the judicial. Okay, it's not good, is it, Chris?
No, there's a lot to fix. And, I asked another one of the Republicans that came on this week who's running. I asked if he was aware of what he was up against in that the party apparatus is built in such a way to favor an incumbent like Brian Fitzpatrick. They don't make it easy for folks like you who want to jump in and challenge. What do you say about that?
What I have to say about that is I am so glad you asked me that question. Because I had so many people pushing me to run against this man. And so I was, weighing the pros and cons. What's it going to do to my household? How's it going to upset my lifestyle and all that other stuff? And my first thought was, I almost said no, because my first reaction was I was afraid. Because I was afraid of Brian's background and all that other stuff. And then my very next thought was really quick, was like, oh my God, I'm afraid of my congressman. I'm afraid of my government. Like, that's not okay. That's not okay, even a little bit. And somebody has to stand up against it. I don't have kids to worry about somebody bullying them. My husband's thick-skinned cowboy. And I know what the difference between what's right and wrong. And let me tell you something else. Our founding fathers divinely inspired wisdom to keep it simple. Okay? So as to every person need not be a scholar to know their rights. Every citizen has the same rights. These people are trashing our rights. And they're making it. They're trying to. It's a big game. I've seen this crap before in my lifetime. It's just a big game to try to make us believe that you have to be a certain, you know, expert and a certain professional politician to go up against these people. No, it should be the housewife should be running. And then when she does her term, it should be the retired, you know, trash man or the bagger at ShopRite or the radio personality who no longer wants to be on the radio anymore, wants to do something else with their life. This is how it's supposed to be set up by the people for the people. This is a bunch of BS that's going on here. And I know exactly what I'm going up against. And I know that it's not going to be easy. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm afraid not to. How about that?
Caroline Avery is a candidate on the Republican side. She's going to challenge Brian Fitzpatrick in the Republican primary. And so, Caroline, your strategy, I assume you're going to be talking with folks throughout the district. It also will take money, of course. What are your thoughts?
Okay, well, the thing is, I have been talking to people. I have been doing like focus groups from the very beginning, starting small and then getting bigger, 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 you know. And people are saying, you know, parents are saying they don't have a voice in their kids' school and in their life. Like, that is unacceptable. People are being taxed to death and feel that they're going to have to work forever and never really own their home. It goes, and then, you know, for on and on, this tax, that tax, more this, more that, more government, big government, we don't need it anymore. Which, so I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on listening to the people is what I'm going to do. And they know that. They're going to know that. The people that don't know it are going to know that if they give me the opportunity. And in the regards to the money, this is my whole, I've had that question asked to me several times because people have become so afraid of this gigantic money. Mm-hmm. Greed can be a huge, deficit to a person and a campaign. Me and my husband said it at the same time when we said, oh, we looked at each other and we said, the money. Well, listen, Chris, the money, all we need is enough money to be effective because I believe that I will be able to get the people of my district, the human factor, the people of my district are so upset. The state is so upset. The country is so upset. They want somebody to speak for them. And I will be able to get the people behind me, and no amount of money is going to be able to stop the American people. I believe that with all my heart. They can have as much money as they want, but money can't cancel the truth. I just heard one of your listeners say something about conspiracy theories. Look, no amount of money can cancel the truth. The truth is not a conspiracy theory.
Caroline Avery is running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District. That's Bucks County. That's parts of northern Montgomery County. Her website, by the way, carolineforcongress.us. Is that the best place for people to reach out to you, help, contribute, reach, contact you? Is that where you people should go? Okay.
Yes, sir. And can I just say one more thing?
Please.
Would that be okay?
Oh, please. Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I would like to say that, listen, whoever gets this seat and has to go down to Washington, D.C. is going to have to sit in between people like Getz and Green and Gosar, and the person who sits in that seat is going to be taking heavy fire because these people are taking heavy fire right now. Okay, and that's a hard thing to do. I've been bullied before. I don't back down to no one, and I'm going to be able to sit in between those people, and I'm going to take heavy fire, and it won't be a problem for me at all. And I would like to say that I don't spend my life watching other people's podcasts because I'm too busy for that. I'm keeping my head down. But if any of those people were to go out of line, I wouldn't have a problem discussing it with them either. So, you know, this is the issue here. We're having terrible problems with people bullying people. And I'm afraid that if we don't get the right person in there, they're just going to get bullied to death. And so I wanted to say that, like, I've got a backbone and a spine, and I've got the heart to match, and I love my country, and I've had enough of this. So,
well, you reached out to us because you are running and you wanted a chance to talk with your constituents. I admire that. Anytime anybody wants to come on the show and make their pitch directly to the folks, that's awesome. And so I wish you all the best, Caroline Avery, at Caroline4Congress.us. That's where people can learn more. Thank you for your time today, Miss Avery. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you. Caroline4Congress.us at 840. Telephone number 610-850-0990. So we've that's two Republicans that we've spoken to that are challenging Brian Fitzpatrick in the 1st Congressional District. And I believe there are others, but Miss Avery reached out and said she wanted a moment to speak. We talked with, and it was earlier in the
Brad
week.
Lanning.
Brad Lanning was mm-hmm. earlier in the week, so... You guys at the first are going to have a choice. You'll have a menu besides Brian Fitzpatrick if you're a Republican voter out there. It will be another interesting season. 610-850-0990. It's Open Line Friday around here, which means you want to come in, get something off your chest. Doesn't matter, whatever's on your mind. We do it as an homage to Rush. As he used to say, Monday through Thursday, it's what interests me. But on Friday, he hands the show over to rank amateurs. 610-850-0990. Come on in. And Merry Christmas from Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Run, run, Rudolph, cause I'm reeling like a merry-go-round.
Hey, it's Sebastian Gorka. Join me this afternoon at 3. Now, more on Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGar.
Speaking of Gorka, programming notes after Christmas, we're taking a little time away here, but, you know, because I never tire of talking with you, and even though I'll technically be away here, I won't have to wake up as early. Gorka called me the other day, and he said, Chris. That's how he does it. It's weird.
Mr. Stigall.
Dr. Gorka, yes. Yes, sir.
Would you mind filling in for me on December 30th?
I said, of course I would. I'm thinking to myself, dare I say no? Like, my first instinct was, oh, gosh, I'm on vacation. I don't know. I maybe got other things. I didn't even bat an eye. Oh, yes, of course I will.
Good. See that you do.
And then hung up. That was it.
So there's no formalities?
And I heard a raven caw in the back, and that was it. That was all. That's it. That's all. You know, no formality. Just hung up, and that was it. So I'll be filling in for. I joke. I love Sam. He's actually, what's so funny is he's sincerely one of the nicest, most gregarious guys ever. But the thing he does on the radio, I chuckle because he really loves radio. Like, he loves the business of radio. And he listened to it as a kid, so he's very romantic about the intimacy of radio and, like, the old kind of theatrics of radio. Like, I think that Gorka, truthfully, I think he imagines himself as one of, like, the 1930s old-timey, like, and then the door opened. Like, somebody's holding physical door hinges and making the sounds.
Yeah.
Like, I think he would literally do old-time radio theater if you let him.
No, you're right, because you always wonder when someone like that, a personality like that, comes to radio, and you're from radio, you're like, oh, I wonder how this is going to go.
No, yeah,
he loves it.
He does love it. And that's what kind of is charming about him, is he's always loved it. He doesn't come from it, but he loved it as a consumer, and I think he's living out what he always imagined it would be, you know?
Yeah.
Because not everybody, as we've talked before, there are people who radio executives say, you'd be great on the radio. You know what? You need a radio show. And then, because, you know, and you'd be a star because you got a TV show and everybody knows you. Let's put you on the radio. And then you put them on the radio and they go, welcome to the show. I'll take your calls now. And nothing happens. Right. And it's horrible and they flame out in weeks. Gorka is one of these guys who doesn't come from radio but loved it. And when he was given the opportunity, like, he loves being on the radio. Like, feels like maybe that's where he should have always been. And is fearless in doing it, too. So, anyway, just having a little fun with him. I will be filling in for Gorka, a programming note on the 30th. What day of the week is that, Fast Eddie? I don't even know. Is that a Thursday?
30th would be a Thursday, yeah.
All right, so right after Christmas. I won't be here in the morning. We'll be taking, let's see, the 20, I guess next Friday through the, we'll be back on the 4th.
Yes, correct.
January 4th, yep. All right. 610-850-0990, but we've still got another few days of shows coming up next week, by the way. Just letting you know in advance, just so nobody thinks I've either A, been fired, or B, died of COVID. This was planned.
Best ofs, your voice will be heard all throughout. We will have you covered when it is not. But it's Chris's show, everyone.
Let's go to Steve in Virginia. Very nice. I assume listening online, Steve. Thanks a lot. Welcome in.
Hey, Chris. I'm in Norfolk, and I'm calling in regards to a previous caller who made some kind of remark about Glenn Youngkin, and I'm trying to wonder what crazy conspiracy world he lives in. I mean, we are deliriously happy down here in Virginia. We are still celebrating the election of Glenn Youngkin. The local conservative talk radio show has an advent, a Youngkin advent calendar. They are counting off the days until he takes charge. I mean, Glenn Youngkin had coattails. He swung the state assembly back to the Republican column.
My thinking is he didn't. I think he might be confusing Glenn Youngkin with someone else. I don't think he meant Glenn Youngkin. He kept saying that, and I was going to challenge him, but I decided to move off of it. What he was saying was he doesn't want a milquetoast Republican who won't come in and behave like DeSantis. I don't gather Glenn Youngkin is milquetoast at all, do you?
Not at all. I've heard him speak in person 4 times, and he's got a strong conservative message. He's a Christian. Believe me, he is determined to bring conservative principles back to Virginia. We haven't had a Republican governor for the last 4-year terms. So he is a breath of fresh air, and everyone. I'm involved with the local Norfolk Republican Committee, and we are having a party on Sunday, and one of the main things we're celebrating is the election of Glenn Youngkin. I mean, he said nothing to dissuade us from being 100% supporters of him.
Listen, I was thrilled for you guys in Virginia, and I can't wait to see what he and your new Republican delegation do there in your capital. So
yeah.
Stay in touch, Steve. Merry Christmas to you.
You know who else to keep an eye on is Winsome Sears, the lieutenant governor. She is a strong conservative and really smart, too. I mean, very impressive. So
I
keep an eye on Winsome Sears.
I agree. In fact, I say that she will be, and I know some people take this as a negative. I don't mean it as a negative. I mean it in the most positive sense. I think she is going to be the next kind of breakout, if you want, kind of, and I'm talking only about the star power and the magnetism of in its zenith, Sarah Palin. I don't mean that that's who she is, literally. I mean in terms of when Sarah Palin became a thing and exploded on the scene and people learned about her for the first time, that enthusiasm. I think Winsome Sears will be able to harness, much like Chris Christie, for instance, when he was first a thing. I think she has that kind of explosive star power ahead of her. I really do. Great. Steve in Virginia, thanks so much for your call. Frank, Chris, Dave, Carol, hang on, coming to you. Don't go anywhere on Open Line Friday.
Your opinion matters. Take the poll at 990theanswer.com. Sponsored by Stillman Volvo. 4 generations in Westchester. Online at stillmanvolvocars.com.
You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Merry Christmas. Good to be with you today. Telephone number 610-850-0990 on this Open Line Friday. Let's see. Back at it. How about Dave and McCungie waiting patiently? Dave, I'm sure glad you called. Good morning.
Hi, Chris. Good morning. So I read an article this morning about Chris Arbery. He's the unfortunate, in my opinion, murderer in Georgia, the 3 guys who tracked down a young black guy in the Atlanta area.
The Ahmaud Arbery case, is that who you mean?
Yeah, yeah. So in my opinion, that came out right around the Jesse Smollett case. And I was like, Jesse Smollett, I don't think so. I'm suspicious. This guy, it did not look good. It was a bad case. So I was certain those guys were going to get convicted. They recently got convicted. But what I think people have forgotten by now is that case was the video that started that prosecution came out about 9 months after the actual shooting. And why was it delayed so much? And then some details came out. One of the guys was a volunteer fireman or something and knew the prosecutor, and the prosecutor wasn't moving forward. I just read that the prosecutor is being indicted by a grand jury. So that's interesting. So I don't want to talk about that case. What I want to talk about is, can we go after prosecutors who don't prosecute cases? And if so, shouldn't that be a chilling effect on guys like Krasner? They're not going after cases. When they're voted out, can't we prosecute him for delaying any case we like? Wow. Hey, you didn't prosecute this guy, we're indicting you. Hey, we didn't prosecute this guy, we're indicting you. That would be a chilling effect on other liberal prosecutors who don't prosecute cases just because they don't feel like it.
I would have to defer to someone who is a legal scholar on that, Dave, but it's an interesting question you posit. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Chris in Malvern. Hey, Chris, glad you called. Good morning.
Morning. Did you get a Christmas card from Paige? Whatever happened to Paige?
You're talking about our former newswoman, Paige Powers, who, retired from the news business and ended up moving back to her family farm in Kansas. She's doing very well. Yes, just talked with her the other day, as a matter of fact. I'll send her your best wishes. All right. She's well. She's fine. She's very, very happy, wildly in love and living on the farm and enjoying life, baking. She still bakes. I'm sure she would wish all of you a Merry Christmas. I miss her, too. All right. I'll let her know. That'll do it for this show today. I hope you have a great, great weekend. I hope you check out the podcast, chrisstegall.com. Like I said, if you want a little inspiration, you want a little pep in your step, you want to hear a statewide elected Republican, I know not in Pennsylvania or New Jersey or in Delaware, unfortunately, but out in Missouri. His name's Eric Schmidt. He's a stud.
This
we'll see
is
you
WNTP,
Monday.
Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. 3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.